Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
This is James Scott. I was born September 18th, 1942, in a place called far off California, the city of San Bernardino. I lived in San Bernardino about 14 months until my parents and family moved to rural Missouri, a place called Harris Bend Community on the Osage River, right across the river from where my father grew up. Mother was from a place a few miles away, a town named Brownington, which that was what our mailing address was. I moved to a farm that my uncle had owned and Dad and Mom bought from him, but they were all still, both families were living in the small house till they found them another place to move to. Dad was a farmer. That was what he chose to do because that gave him the access to outdoor recreation that he liked, fishing and hunting. So I grew up learning to fish and hunt and be in a rural place. During my time on the farm, I saw things change from using horses to pull the wagons and equipment to tractors. Things, and by the time I got old enough to start helping, we cut the tongues off the equipment and tied them, hooked them onto the tractors. Then I rode the planter and the mowing machine and things. We picked corn by hand, shucking it, and when I'd get home from school, they'd always be ready to, in the fall, go ready to go get another load of corn before dark. I'd have to run to the house, take my dinner bucket in, and run back and catch them and go pick a load of ear corn. We had raised hogs and a few cows to milk, and chickens, of course. And we had our own garden and raised row crops. And I saw the time that they used binders and thrash machines to harvest oats. Later, we got a combine and we raised wheat and soybeans and corn, and had got a new tractor. So I learned right off, by the time I was 9 years old, I started driving a tractor, either plowing, disking, and cultivating. That was primarily what I did. My dad and my brother, they did the planting, and I would do the disking and things and do this. I went to a one-room school that was all all 8 grades in one with one only one teacher, all through my elementary school, which was something different. After graduating from Harris Bend School, I was in the last class to graduate from that school in 1956. I went to a Deepwater High School, which was about 20 miles away from home, for all 4 years, graduated in high school in 1960. Now, 58 and 60, we expanded our farming a lot, and I farmed close to 300 acres of land with my dad, and I would cultivate all those row crops at least 3 times each growing season. But we did farming. Some years it wasn't profitable. Sometimes you lost the entire crop by floods. And that kind of influenced me that farming was not going to be my way of life. And I said, when I got the crops laid by after I got out of high school, I was going to go to town and get me a job where I got paid every week. My first job working in Kansas City was working for a builder building houses, and I worked on the rough-in crew of the carpenters. We set our forms, poured the basement walls, framed in the house, and I really knew nothing about building. They had to teach me, but they just were nice people. They'd tell me what I needed to do and how to do it till I would learn to work along with the others. And I did that for the rest of that remainder of that summer. Then I decided I'd go to college to learn to be an engineer. I went to Missouri School of Mines and Metallurgy for 2 years, but after that, I didn't have enough resources to go back the third year, so I remained working on construction in the city. By this time, I had gotten a position working with a company that did telephone work. And I worked with them for about 3 years. And then worked for another company that did sewer and telephone and power and light underground work. From that, I found a job that I really liked. Didn't pay much, but I really enjoyed drafting work and drawing. So I worked for 2 companies. One that was I worked in a agricultural division of, and my job was to special order bolted tanks, both corrugated tanks and the steel bolted tanks that were used for handling grain, oil, and of course, plastics were a big thing to be. And worked there for about a year and went back to my first job where I was drawing and would work on industrial large pumps for Fairbanks Morris Pump Company. Did that for a few years. And then, just along that way, I was really enjoying that real well. And I had a serious illness. On September 5, 1971, I had a severe stroke. It temporarily disabled me until I got to the doctor. They did the surgery, removed the clot, and I survived that, walking out of the hospital on my own after being in the hospital for a week. Then, 3 months later, I returned to my job and I was going to finish up my college for an undergraduate degree, associate degree in engineering from a community college in Kansas City. Well, the company thought that due to the fact I had lost part of my eyesight, which wasn't a coming back covering, they would put me on disability. Thought I would qualify for that. That was kind of a surprise to me when they told me they were doing that at the Friday end of the week. Well, Monday, college started again. I took my wife's money she had saved for college, and I went out and back to the junior college and enrolled in every engineering class that they offered that I hadn't already had. And taking one of my favorite classes was a shop class, because it was a mechanical shop that had all kinds of lathes and equipment of that sort to make things. And I had free access to that every afternoon. I just had to be careful and turn off the lights and lock it up when I left. The instructor was very nice to me about this. Now, during that semester of college, the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and the University of Missouri, Columbia was bringing a resident engineering school starting at the University of Missouri campus. So that fall, I enrolled in that and continued that to get an undergraduate degree in civil engineering and a master's of science in civil engineering. And all of this while I was still on disability and decided that it was time to go back to work. So my first job after college was with the City of Independence in their engineering department. Worked there almost 2 years. And I went to the City of Clinton and was a city engineer and director of public works for about 2 years. And then it was back to Kansas City to work for the Army Corps of Engineers in the regulatory branch, which I worked there for 25 years and 9 days, retiring in June 30th, of 2006 doing that. My most enjoyable things I can recall was during that time working was getting a permit or a letter from somebody that needed one to get a project done to save their property and things, and to be able to do that with as little effort as they could by me asking them questions to get all the answers I needed to fill in the thing so I could get them their letter that would say that they needed a permit or did not need a permit with as little effort from them to where I could help them get something that they knew nothing about the program. I knew all about it. So I would ask them and try to make it as easy for them as possibly could and still protect the environment the best I could, because I had great concerns with the waters of the United States, streams and wetlands. Now we'll start back as my heritage. My grandparent, I was lucky to grow up close to and know my both sides of my grandparents, and they were to know most of them, and they all liked to fish just like Dad did. Fishing was a big thing to us. We fished, and my one grandfather was a farmed and raised livestock, and he had been a he would trade in furs and things like that, and he liked to fox hunt and had his foxhounds, and one of those people that really enjoyed listening to the dogs run. Now my other grandfather, Grandpa Crabtree, he was very skilled, could do anything he wanted to. He could make anything he wanted. He was a blacksmith, and he learned the trade of blacksmithing from the old forging, welding, fixing things, making things, to where he had he welded with electric and acetylene welding. He could weld something small, lightweight, or he could weld things that were heavy duty activities, and he could build up shafts and things. But his greatest thing was probably he knew how to sharpen plowshares. And he could do that. He had clients for miles and miles around would bring their plowshares to him because he knew how to sharpen them by heating them up, hammering them out, and getting the right turn on them so that they would go into the ground and plow correctly. He was a very skilled person. As a young person, he had built a cash register for his parents to use in their store, made out of metal from tin cans and things. Until it worked so well, the National Cash Register Company salesman come by and said they had infringed on their patents and they had to destroy it. So if he saw something or something he could, there wasn't hardly anything seemed like that he couldn't make. Or that's the way his grandson, me, thought of him. He could do about anything and make anything. If I broke something metal, I could take it in, and seemed like he could fix it all back for me. Very good. I knew him. He had a little hobby farm next to us, and I would go over and visit. Sometimes he would bring somebody with him to help him, and sometimes my dad would be helping him, and I'd be visiting with his helper, and his helper so happened to know my other grandpa too, so he'd tell me stories about my other grandpa that hadn't about him trading furs and having so many furs on his horse that they were falling off, and he was having to come along behind and pick up the furs and things. And he told me about how they used to go down and camp out on the river. The people from Brownington and the surrounding areas would go down to this place when the sturgeon were running, and they would camp out and they would catch the sturgeon, and they would can those up for later. They'd pressure cook them, and they'd have fish for the rest of the year. And we also canned fish for used them for fish cakes and things like that. We had fresh fish that we'd caught because we seemed to always be able to have fish, different kinds at different times of the year, depending on river stages and things. But fishing was a hobby that was almost a job. Well, later in life, on my heritage, my uncle did the genealogy of my family. I found I have some German. Most of them are English, though, and Irish and Scots. Chased most lines back from and amazingly, many of my ancestors came through the same part of Cumberland County, Kentucky, at approximately the same time. Within a few years' time, I find that my Crabtree ancestors were married there. My Wisdom ancestors were married there. My Scott ancestors were married there. And my frog ancestors was born there in about that time. So the frog ancestors, I can trace them back up to Virginia. They were in the area of George Washington, the Clarks, the Madisons, and the my frog ancestors go back to Captain John Frog of about 1707 to 1797, I believe. And he was a high sheriff there. His wife's family had sold land to Augustine Washington, George Washington's father. I had ancestors that had served with Washington during his surveying. Ashby and others had known, and in fact, the first Supreme Court Justice John Marshall was in Captain John Frog's company in the French and Indian War. So most of my ancestors seem to have come from Virginia and North Carolina through Kentucky and Tennessee, migrated some to Illinois and on to Missouri, and many of them got to Missouri and found and settled relatively close to where I grew up in the area of St. Clair and Benton County, Missouri. My Scott ancestors moved there in about 1854. My Wisdom ancestors came earlier, I believe about 1836. I have the Cox and the Hormeyers that came from Illinois in the early 1830s and settled there. And on my mother's side, of course, my grandpa Crabtree was the oldest of the family. Although he was born in Omaha, Nebraska, his family kept moving. They were in Indian Territory, Oklahoma. They were in three or four places in Missouri, Chilhowie, a place down by Bolivar, a place by Mount Zion, which is close to us, and to Brownington, where he married my grandma Crabtree, Anna Densler, and they lived there the rest of their lives. And he was a blacksmith there, and he ran like a stable. And when cars came in, the doctors had him take care of their cars. He kept the cars like he would have kept the horse and buggy. And he drove doctors out to their house calls and would wait for them and bring them back just before they learned to drive their own cars to visit patients. So then he moved over to Deepwater and had the welding shop that I really knew and blacksmith shop that he had. And he had lots of muscles that most people didn't have, because he could handle lots of iron and hammer on it with it. He built muscles because the funeral director asked what did he do, because he said he had muscles that most people don't have. Unfortunately, we didn't say he was a blacksmith. Mother just said he was a welder. So, now we'll go back to my own things. And 1963, on Memorial Day weekend, I met a girl down at Osceola. She was down for the weekend. the holidays. And I saw her up on the square and asked if I could take her water skiing the next day, because she was with her parents and aunts, and they had a cabin on the Sac River there. So the next day, took her to, got her, and we went down to the river where I grew up. I had access to a power boat to go water skiing and things, and that developed on to where that was my mate for life, Sandra Williams. That December, on December 7th of 1963, we were married in Kansas City, and we met, lived most of our life here in Kansas City. She became a school teacher and retired at that, and then we shared our duties with taking care of our grandson, Jackson. From the time he was about 4 months old on, we were there ready to watch and take care of him whenever the need became called. My relationship with my daughter Barbara was quite unique. We did a lot of things together. She started doing festivals. We would do festivals together, like a different one every Saturday. I'd go along and help, and we'd set it up, and she'd make them do, fit whatever the occasion was. She could have her booth up there, and we did that a long time. Otherwise, for hobbies, I started barbecuing and smoking and cooked a competition barbecue at the American Royal for several years. Had lots of parties down there where our friends, neighbors, and co-workers could come and do that, and come and enjoy a big barbecue at the American Royal and all the festivities that went with that. And about that time, my uncle got into the genealogy and got me to starting to go to the SAR meetings that he was a member of. And I attended those for a couple of years, every month, and then joined the SAR. And right after I joined that, I got in the color guard, and I would do color guard activities with the SAR, whether it was marching parades, whether we gave programs to civic groups, especially about the flags of the United States, and present colors at grave services for grave markings for both DAR and SAR, and started firing muskets at the grave services, and did that for quite some years. Chapter president and secretary for several years, and then a color guard commander for several years, trying to organize things with have a color guard to go for presenting colors and at President's Days, Best Truman Tees, and special events for both the DAR and SAR. enjoyed doing that and doing a lot of color guard activities in a Continental uniform. Okay. This is a second try at part of this. James Scott. I was born in 1942 in San Bernardino, California. My parents were Manuel Christopher Scott and Catherine Eunice Crabtree. And I was born September 18th, 1942, San Bernardino, California. And I had an older sister, Barbara Ann. She was about 3 years older, and I was her birthday present. She was born in September 28, I believe, was her birthday. And I had a younger brother, Kenneth, and he was born back in Missouri in June 7th of 1944, after we had moved to Missouri in January of 1944 on the farm. And him and Barbara were both born in Clinton, Missouri. I was the only one born in California. Now, my grandpa Scott was Robert Lee Scott, the son of William Robert Scott and Zook Wisdom. My grandma Scott was Lydia Martha Gilbert, the daughter of James R. Gilbert, Reverend, I should say, and Mary Ann Victoria Miller Reed Gilbert. This was her second marriage. Grandma was enough there. My other grandparents were Arthur John Crabtree and Anna Densler, and they were married and lived their life in Brownington, Missouri. So both sets of grandparents were close enough that I saw them, some of them almost daily, some of them about weekly. So it was very close to the, had the experience of knowing them very well and visiting with them. A little anecdote. My Scots lived across the river from us, and there was a bridge right on the corner of our property, and it really was walking distance to there. As a kid, we would drive the cows, or milk cows, over to across the bridge, and Grandpa Scott would open the gate to go into the pasture and close the pasture and put the cows in, and he'd shut the gate. And then in the evening, we would go back over, and he'd let the cows out, and we would follow them home. The cows knew the way, but basically, we just followed them along so that they didn't tarry along and go. They walk across the bridge and up the road and up the lane to our house and onto the barn. They knew that, how to do that quite well. And that was one of the little chores that we did as kids. And at the bridge, my Uncle Lonnie and Aunt Lena had a grocery store. A country store. And Grandpa Scott spent a lot of time down there because he liked to go down there and visit with the people if he wasn't busy working. And he'd visit with the customers. Well, the nice thing, when we went to the store to get something, he always opened his little coin purse up, and there would be, he'd get a nickel out for each one of us kids, my sister, my brother, and myself, and we could always buy one thing each, whether we wanted to buy a candy bar, a bottle of pop, or an ice cream bar. They were all a nickel each, but you only got one. You got the choice of how you wanted to do, whether you wanted a Pepsi or a orange drink, or if you wanted a candy bar, and always look at that to see which one looked like the biggest one, whether it was a Baby Ruth or a Butterfinger or a Snicker bar. If candy was what the choice was, and most of the time it probably was candy that would be candy or ice cream after they had the freezer for the ice cream. That didn't happen at the beginning of the time they had the store. And of course at Grandma and Grandpa Scott's house, they always had a supply of a pop up there, so they liked the soda pop, so they usually had soda pop in the refrigerator up at their house. So when we visited them, they had that, and we had a lot of Scott family gatherings there at every event. Event being, might say, Easter, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and a lot of other days on the summer. During the summer months, one of my uncles would usually come up with a watermelon, and in the afternoon we'd have, in the shade of the house, we'd have watermelon and things there, because we'd go over and visit with Dad's brothers and sisters and with all their cousins, my cousins, and visited a lot with them on that family. My other family, side of the family, had one aunt and one uncle. My uncle had two daughters that were a lot younger than what I was. So, and one, the other, the aunt on my mother's side lived in California, and she had two children, so I only saw them just a few times during my lifetime. I knew of them, but I really didn't know them. I mostly knew my Scott cousins because we gathered at Grandma and Grandpa Scott's place for many times, and have a wiener roast and kind of picnic down on the gravel bar, and shoot off fireworks at the 4th of July down on the river. There was a large island we had, and it had a nice big gravel bar in front of it that's nice and smooth and a lot of area, and they could, you know, gather some wood and build a fire and enjoy the kind of a picnic situation down there on the bar and shoot the fireworks. Even my son recalled, James recalled, my grandpa Crabtree being down there too while they were doing this, and how he would say how beautiful they all looked any time they set off a new fireworks. Now, Sandra and I had three children, Barbara being the oldest, James being the middle child, and Jeremy, the youngest. He was about 9 years, approximately 9 years younger than Barbara. Barbara and James were about 2 years apart. So they were constant companions. And of course, they kind of mothered Jeremy when he was there. Why, he seemed to be mothered all the time by some of us, because Jeremy was born when I was not during the time I was not working and in college, and Sandra was in college, so we traded off our schedules so one of us would be home to watch him while the other one went to school. Then we, just before he got old enough to go to school, then I started back to work, and Sandra finished her school, and by the time he was kindergarten, why, she was teaching school. So he had mostly somebody watching him most all the time. The children all got college educations and pursued their own vocations.